got my timer. I don't want to get over. I am really obsessed with the Apollo project. And in fact, I was at a kind of Apollo convention in Pontefract last night where the Apollo astronaut Alan Bean was talking. The Apollo astronaut Al Bean was talking, and it was definitely a very male environment, so I feel like I'm kind of going through a strange transition. But he did sign my Apollo book, so now this is suddenly really valuable, whereas before it really wasn't, so I'm quite excited about that. I'm going to read from that book, I'm going to read from Infinite Difference, and if I have some time, I'm going to read from some fan fiction I've been working on. So this is the piece from Infinite Difference. Mine. The heart honeycombed, its collected spread of prospects accrued in court precincts. Late afternoon, windows blazing, walls gilded. Sudden suburban stillness, Sunbury. Gold seams thread the fabric of the in thing. Necklace boxed, unthreading 30 years from hand to throat, spun into strands, locketed. The ache worn threadbare. Later years alter. Settling, sedimentary. Paint coats over paintwork. The luster lost. Wake a while. Blanket folds under fingers unfurled. Feathers, leaves, stones square the edges. Weighted down. Memories sink sleep deeper, unmazed. A king's picture, as I had dreamt of him. Chest covered in blood, heart on the outside. Don't worry, sound carries meaning intact. And this is from Rarefied, and there are three sections, and this is the section where I'm thinking about the experiences of the astronauts as opposed to the experiences of the wives, which it starts with, and it's called Theseus. Captured in the rapture of the moment, the universe shaking the shining stars, his coordinates fixed, time-trapped, airborne. Considering the heavens breathtaking, finds he takes no special joy in walking. Each small step a measurement of distance, mapping out interesting hills and valleys, voluptuous encounters with strangeness. He has a finite number of heartbeats, wasted while looking back. Not halting, he gains speed, crash landing into history. What is man that thou art mindful of him, when he comes apart in tiny pieces, just like this tiny pea, pretty and blue? Earth disappears behind his thumb, eclipsed. He lets all slip from his forgetful mind. Biddings fading, the image left behind, obliterated. Only his footprint lingering near the family snapshot, a square of memory, plastic coated, all shaded in his thoughts with blind dimness. The camera points directly sunwards, and he is lost in a blaze of light, blinks, feels the sickening sense of weightlessness bring nausea spreading across his skin. These first footsteps last forever almost. Sensing perhaps he might never go back, he longs for animation suspended, solitude, paler than the gleam of gold, lightness floating across his face like dust, shimmering, hand shadowing eyes, he waves. Back home they can hear the commentary. Pinned to their seats, eyes fixed upon the screen, they watch the world as the world watches them. Aflame with longing for this bright mirage, guests crowd in close and closer, avidly taking speech, shorthand, light flashes pulse. Never minding them if they leave her be, she grips the cigarette and absently counts down to the next sip of martini. Transmission ends, all contact lost, static. And I think I've just got time to read from this fan fiction that's coming out in the next edition of Long Poem, and it's a response to Rebecca, and I've gone through and I've taken excerpts from the text and then I've kind of woven that into some of my own writing. fragments salvaged from her diary, a correspondence with Rebecca. And this is the first quote. How alive was her writing, though? How full of force. Those curious sloping letters. The blob of ink. Done yesterday. Perfect stillness decayed. Sharp as a sword, the shadow comes between us. I can see myself now, suddenly touched with spite. Memory spanning the years like a bridge. Seen through sullen, half-closed eyes. 17th of May, that endless wandering around jagged sentences. Perhaps I felt sick at heart and cold. The glances on cruel corners, accidental bruising. I must not think of that. Artless, lightless, still beyond endurance. She was dead and one must not have thoughts about the dead. I must bury it deep, the secret sleeping. Silence beneath the murmured conversations. Sheened in speculation, it was no defence. The letter was the last to go. It twisted in the flame. It curled outwards for a moment, becoming larger than ever. Eclipsed, I felt the desire to crush her. Overcome, I found she had been sitting in my chair. Stale, sly letters beneath the feet. Endless little cuts. The invitation gilt-edged. She might never have received it. Now I was leaning against her cushion, imagining the hands that held it past their bloom, tapping a pattern of unwillingness. This blur of paper cool against her palms, a pair of pale gloves cast aside. I wondered how many urgent letters she used to write and who they were written to. Gleaming on the desk in the half light, seen reflected in the metal casket, inventoried, a broken necklace, I prepared myself, sliding the words into place. As the thread pulls, I imagine the pale neck arching forwards as the clasp is fastened for her. Mistress of the periphery, suddenly alive, I hear his sister say, she simply adored her. Can a sentence be hollow? The presence of curious fingers lingering on the burnished wood, the drawer locked. Perhaps she was waiting for me to speak. Oh, I said, oh, I see. Sighing out the long-held secret, this character is not fully realised, but must finish the sentence. Regardless. Besides, she adds, you are so very different from her. Breath. Pacing myself. Remembering. Collecting up the lost trinkets. Displaced beads. These are not my belongings. I come out onto the steps and find the sun has gone behind a bank of cloud. My throat touched into feeling loss. I cannot clear it.